Good morning. It's good to see each of you here today. Those that are gathered in the sanctuary with us, those in the parking lot, and those at the houses, we thank you for joining us this morning. And as Rick always says, if anybody's riding by and they're listening, we're glad they're listening too. So glad to have each of you here with us this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer today. Lord, we thank you for another beautiful day and for the changing of the seasons and the cooler temperatures that you've sent. And we just ask that you continue to bless us during this time of the year, that as we see the leaves change and the fall come in. And Lord, we just thank you for that. I pray for our farmers as they're in the fields and up and down the roads. And Lord, with the accident that happened the other day, we just ask for safety for all the people that are on the farm equipment, in the roads, in the fields, whatever. Just pray that you'll watch over them and keep them safe. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have here in the United States to gather together and worship, and for the freedoms of worship that we have. And we just pray you'll continue to lead us as a nation and help us to realize, Lord, that we've got to turn back to you, not only as individuals, but as a nation, and allow you to lead us and show us what we need to do and how we need to do it. And Lord, just keep that in the forefront of our mind. We pray for those that are sick, those that have lost loved ones. We just ask, Lord, that you be with each person and each family. Forgive us now for the times when we fail you, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, announcements this morning. First one, is that called a potted plant, Alita? Or just a back porch plant? Okay, Alita brought the back porch plant today just for decoration. There's not an in memory or in honor or anything right now. It's just some good flowers. Fall colors, okay. All right, second thing. This afternoon at 3 o'clock or whenever, sometime this afternoon, Brother Rick's going to take the items that we've gathered for the children's home and carry them over to Blakely, to First Baptist Church, for that. And so if you haven't done that, or you still got something you want to bring, just get it here quick as you can, or you can take it to Blakely later this afternoon for the children's home. And we thank those that have given and to help those in the children's home. Third thing that I'd like to say is thank you to everyone who came and who helped with the fellowship Wednesday night. I think I counted 47 or 48, and that was a good time. We had a good time of fellowship. We sat around in our socially distant circle and talked to each other, and we're just able to carry on and enjoy each other's company. And so we thank those that did that. Ryan's got, I guess, an announcement for the youth, or I can do. They're going to meet Wednesday night.
Yeah, youth are. I mean, we got Waylon and Levi over there 2 weeks ago. We started 2 weeks ago for youth. I think Team Kid is still on Facebook Live, stuff like that. So yeah, we had a few weeks ago, and then we had a few more last Wednesday at the fellowship. So we look forward to getting fall back rolling.
Okay, so the youth will meet 6 o'clock, 6 to 7 this Wednesday, okay? All right, what about praises, prayer requests, things that happened good this week? Anybody, anything good?
I'd like to say how much I enjoy the music coming in.
Told you, Rob. Oh, shucks. Yes, you don't know. It beats hearing me and John Davis and John Hatcher trying to figure out what to do for sure. So we're glad for that. All right, what else? Another praise, anybody this week? Certainly the cooler temperatures is good. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's good right now. Anything, anybody? Mr. Bud Newberry had surgery and he is doing good. Had it Friday. Okay. All right. Any more praises? Prayer request?
Miss Mary Ruth had
cataract surgery, right?
Did well.
Okay.
You got to go back Tuesday for the other eye.
Okay. The Dowdy family in the loss of Miss Patty, we need to certainly keep them in our prayers. The guy who hit him. Yeah.
I was talking about Matthew Burke last night. He said
Okay, for those of y'all in the parking lot or at home, Chris said the man that actually ran into the back of the tractor that Patty was on is doing fine physically, but emotionally, mentally, he's struggling. So we certainly need to remember him also. I think it was last week I mentioned, or maybe 2 weeks ago, that Uncle Gene had to go back in for some more back surgery. Well, they discovered what was causing the issues, and he's got multiple myeloma, which is a cancer, and it's not real good. But he's going to start chemo and radiation sometime this week. So y'all keep Uncle Gene, Aunt Tommy in your prayers for that. All right, anything else? Certainly we need to continue to remember our nation. Don't want to make this political, but go vote. You got to vote for whomever you vote for, but go vote. Okay, thanks, Cheryl. For those of y'all outside, Cheryl just said she was thankful for her church and her church family, and we are too. At least Brother Rick now gets to preach to live people instead of looking at his phone all the time, and I know that can be tough. But, yes, the church family, this has been a source of strength for all of us, I think, during this time. Even though it's hit and miss or do this or do that, at least we can still gather together some, and that's been good. Okay, anybody else? Any prayer? Well, yes, Tammy.
Along with that, I would say those with children, come anyway. If we don't have a nursery, but come anyway. I know they're at home and can't hear, but, I just want to see more people here in our church to be able to receive what we're receiving. Mm-hmm. Children are the future of our church.
No. And we're working that way. I'll leave it at that. Yeah. Okay, again, those of y'all out in the parking lot, Tammy said she would just love to see more families, more people with younger kids. And, yeah, if they cut up back there, that's okay. Brother Rick's had kids cut up in church before, I'm sure. Ain't no big deal.
Adults too.
No, they're usually sleeping. We're usually sleeping. We don't cut up that much, so... But that is certainly true. Okay, if nothing else, then we'll turn it over to Brother Rick. I didn't have anybody that wanted to sing this week, so we'll wait for another week, and then we'll go from there. So Rick, turn it over to you.
Thank you, sir. All right, it's good to see you guys. And if you take your Bibles and turn to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Romans 12, very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And we did have a great crowd and a great spirit Wednesday night. It was fantastic. And I want to personally say thank you to the fellowship team and all those that were involved in setting things up and also cleaning up afterwards. It was just a great time just to be able to see each other and talk with one another. So I really appreciate that as well. And also don't forget in the next couple of weeks, time change. So that's coming up. So I know November the 1st is a Sunday. So probably do it that Saturday night before you go to bed, so keep that in mind as well. Title of the message this morning is The Act of Surrender. The Act of Surrender. Romans 12, a very familiar passage to us. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we are very grateful, Lord, for your church here at Arlington Baptist. And Father, we do thank you for our get together on Wednesday. And then we are excited to come back on Sunday, Father. And thank you, Lord, for those who are able to be here in the auditorium. We are so grateful for those who are outside, Father, listening by radio, and all those in the homes. And as we always say, you never know who may be riding by, turning into that FM station. God has a way to speak to people in different ways. And so, Father, we pray that your name would be exalted, it would be lifted up, it would be praised. And Lord, help us as believers, Lord, knowing that we have been saved by grace through faith, that, Father, we are challenged in this society that we're living in, this world system that is, anti-Bible, anti-Christian. Father, that we might surrender, we might throw up the white flag and say, Lord, I want to give my whole self to you, my whole life to you, that you might use me in such a way, Father, to be an example and an influence that would reach men and women for Jesus. That's what it's all about, Father, that men and women, boys and girls would be saved, that heaven would be their home, and that they would understand about the cross and the blood and the substitution of Christ for our sins, that he died on the cross for us. And Father, that they might come to know personally Jesus Christ, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. So Father, today, and we know that you're here with us, and we pray as we open up this word, your infallible, inerrant word of God, that you would speak to our hearts, and that you would transform us and change us, and Lord, into what's pleasing in your sight. And Father, may we be obedient to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, we've heard the old story or the old saying that God has a plan and God has a will for your life and my life. And out of 40 plus years of ministry, I think the question has always come up, what is God's will? If he's got a plan for my life, if he's got a will for my life, you know, what would that be? Well, the psalmist said in Psalm 139 in verse 16, he said, "Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." In other words, the psalmist said, Lord, you know all things. You created me in the very beginning of beginnings. Before the world was even created, you knew me and you had a plan for me. And your desire for my life and for your life is to find out what that plan is. So there are a couple things as an introduction. I want you to notice, first of all, he has a significant will. We can read the scriptures and we know that there are over and over again scriptures that teach us what God's will really is. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, first of all, it's God's will that we be saved. He desires that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as such some men count slackness, but yet he says that he's willing that none should perish, but that should all come to repentance." Paul told Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, God desires all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's God's will that we be saved. Second of all, it's God's will that we be Spirit-filled. Now that we're saved and have the Holy Spirit, he desires that we be totally filled, controlled, and dominated by the Spirit of God. And we know Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess or dispensation, but be filled, be constantly, continually, be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit." Then we know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says it's God's will that we be sanctified, that we be set apart, that we be clean, that we live a holy life. He's called us into a life of holiness. Then the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 that we should rejoice always. Now, I want to tell you something. That's sort of a difficult one. I don't know what you've gone through in your life, but there's been times in my life where the reaction would not be to rejoice. But he said rejoice in everything. Rejoice always. And so it's God's will that we give him thanks, be grateful in all things. Also in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He teaches us to pray without ceasing, to be constantly with an attitude and expression of prayer all through our lives. And then, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it's God's will that we say thanks. In everything, he says, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So there are many others in the Word of God. We're to be submissive. In fact, in 1 Peter, it talks about we would suffer. for His will, doing His will. Sometimes, you know, we do His will, we go through issues, we go through problems, and sometimes we say, well, Lord, I don't know why I'm having to go through this. But, you know, Jesus went through much suffering and pain and agony. And yes, we should always do. So that's his significant will. But second of all, I notice He has a special will. And if you remember when Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus, Syria, to do his thing, he'd already got letters. He'd already been given the okay by the government to go in and, again, take women and men and put them in prison and maybe even some to kill. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, when God began to talk to Ananias to get him ready for Saul of Tarsus to come, I can imagine what Ananias thought about knowing who Saul of Tarsus was. But he got saved on the road to Damascus. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, but the Lord said to him, Lord said to Ananias, He said, go, for he, Saul of Tarsus, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name among the Gentiles, among kings, and the children of Israel. And we know that Paul did that. It was a special calling from God. It was God's will for him, because you remember when he started on his missionary journeys, he went, as his custom was, he went into the synagogues and he preached and he taught and he explained and he demonstrated the Word of God. Then he was called to the Gentiles because the Jews rejected the message. So then he was called to preach to the Gentiles and led many to saving knowledge of Christ. And then you remember in Acts like 26, 24, he came before King Agrippa. He came before King Festus, again, sharing his testimony. So he fulfilled his special calling, just exactly that God said. So his significant will is important. We find it in the Word of God. And then finding what his special will, what has he called us to do? Have you ever thought about what is God's will for my life? What is His significant? What is His special will? What is God calling me to do in my life? What do I need to do? So, in our passage, three words I want to mention this morning real quickly. First of all, notice the presentation. The presentation found in verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice the summons. He said, I beseech thee. The word also can mean I beg you, I plead with you, I urge you. This is something very important. And he also, it's the same Greek word that describes the Holy Spirit, to call alongside to help, where you find it in John 14, John 15 and 16, where Jesus said, I'm going to leave, but yet I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Comforter. And not only will He be with you, but He will be in you. So Paul, we catch a urgency. We catch something that's very important. And what I love about Romans, if you've ever studied the book of Romans, the first 11 chapters talk about doctrine. Talks about salvation, talks about those great words like justification and sanctification, redemption, glorification. And then from chapter number 12, verse 3 to the end of the chapter, he talks about now that you've been saved, this is the calling. This is the kind of life you need to live. And so Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a bridge. It's a bridge that connects the doctrine of God from our duties. And so it's a real beautiful picture. And Paul has that summons to the Christians in Rome. I plead with you. I urge you to do something. Then notice, second of all, the sympathies. He says in verse 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And if you look through the book of Romans, you'll notice words like love and grace and long-suffering and faith constantly coming up. These are the extravagant mercies of God. He says, I'm calling you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you because of the love of God, because of the righteousness of God, because of the long-suffering of God, because of God's faith, because of God's grace. And he's about to tell these Christians what he wants them to do or what God wants them to do. So we see those sympathies. But notice what I'm calling the shell. Look at what he says. He said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you present your bodies. Now what is he trying to say? Well, I think what Paul is saying is that you need to give God your eyes. You need to give God your ears. You need to give God your tongue. You need to give God your mouth. You need to give God your mind. You need to give God your heart. You need to give Him your hands. You need to give Him your feet. The whole person. He said, present your whole life. How important are our eyes to see? And the question we need to ask ourselves is, what have you been looking at lately? What's been your focus? We can think about a physical view. What have you been looking at TV? What kind of movies you look at? What do you look at on the internet? And the psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Psalm 103. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. What about our ears? What are we listening to? Do we know the voice of God? Do we hear His voice? Jesus said in John 10, my sheep, I know them. They hear my voice. They follow me. There are a lot of voices out there that are trying to get our attention. But hopefully we're tuned in to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what about our mind? How important it is. As a man thinks, so is he, Proverbs 23 says. And so our mind, what are we placing into this computer up here? Hopefully it's through reading of Scripture and memorizing the Word of God and meditating upon truth and then making application of that truth. He says, I'm begging you, I'm pleading you because of the love of God, the faith of God, the grace of God, that you would present, you would make a decision to present your life to God. Then notice something very unique, what I'm calling the sacrifice. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That sort of sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Because in the Old Testament, what did they do? They sacrificed animals, the shedding of blood. We know the Hebrews tells us without the shedding of blood, there's no repentance or remission of sin. And so he says, present your bodies, your life, all that you are, present yourself as a living sacrifice. In other words, completely give yourself to God. Is He the number one in your life? Is He the priority of your life? That's one of the most important questions that we can ask. So we see the presentation. But notice, second of all, the separation. He goes on to say at the end of verse number one, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. Notice, first of all, the cleansing. He said, present ourselves holy. All throughout the Bible, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, be holy because He is holy. The whole book of Leviticus is a book of holiness. We should live our lives in a different manner because we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're set apart. We should live that holy life. We're strangers. We're sojourners coming through. We're here through example and by imparting the life of Christ in us that people would see Jesus and come to Him. So we see the cleansing. But notice what I call the customary. He said, may your presentation be acceptable to God. The word there also means satisfactory or adequate. Is God satisfied with the life that we're living? Is God pleased with the way we go day in and day out throughout this situation or situations that we're in? But notice he says, third of all, the conforming. Do not be conformed to this word, to this world. I got a good definition. It says conforming, it means an outward expression that does not reflect what is really inside. An outward expression that does not reflect what's really inside. And I thought about a crazy illustration. How many people like Jell-O? I know when Robin was in the hospital, they gave her that yucky yellow stuff. I don't know. I think they get a lot of that yellow Jell-O. It's awful. I like red. I like grape. Orange is okay. But yellow, it's not good. But I can make a mean Jell-O. And so you know how you do it. You take a bowl, put your Jell-O mix in. You have hot water, put the hot water in, stir it up good. Then you have cold water, you have to stir it in. Then what do? Sometimes people put it into a mold. Sometimes for their kids, a special type of mold. And what do? They put it in the refrigerator and let it stay overnight. And then the next day they'll take it and plop it out. And what that Jell-O is, it conforms to the mold in which it was placed in. And also, the word also means like a, A person that makes a jar or a vase, if you want to say that, takes clay. You know, they have that spinning thing, and they start doing their number. And they'll with their hands, they'll form it in such a way, and then they'll take part of this off, and then they'll add to, and till it comes out to a beautiful vase. You see, that's what the world wants to do with you and I. You know, knowing what we know, it is out to get our testimony. They want our minds and our decisions and our lifestyle to be molded, to be conformed to the ideologies and the philosophies and the lifestyle of this world system, which is anti-Bible, anti-scriptural, anti-Christian, anti-God. And so that's what the world desires. And Paul is saying, again, with that pleading, with that begging, please do not be conformed to this world. But then he says, notice the common sense there toward the end. He says, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul said, listen, the most logical thing that you can do is live for Jesus. The most logical thing that you can do, the most sound, the most consistent thing that you can do is not follow the world system, but follow the Word of God. And to do that, you've got to read the Word of God. You've got to study the Word of God. You've got to memorize and meditate it and put it into this mind and in this heart, and then begin to live that out, to begin to share that Word with other folks. So there's the separation. We're not of this world, but we're in this world. The third word is the transformation. Look what he said at the end of verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And every time I think about this, it's the word metamorphosis. And we all know what that means. You look at that caterpillar. That caterpillar is just a fat worm, right? It's just a fat worm that's unattractive. But all of a sudden, something happens where it begins to spin and begins to eventually makes a cocoon. And that old, ugly, fat, unattractive worm, eventually it breaks through with strength and power to get through that cocoon and comes out as a beautiful butterfly. And that's exactly what Jesus wants to do with us. He's taken us where we were. Aren't you glad that he didn't say, okay, you need to do this before I save you. I'll save you, but. If you'll do this, or you'll change your life, if you'll do this, you know, then I'll save you. No, he took us exactly where we were. And we came to the knowledge of who we were, that we were sinners, that he was the Savior, that we could not save ourselves. And we knew what he came to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came to save us from our sins. And we repented by faith through grace and asked Christ to clean us up, and he sent the Holy Spirit to help us to continue. And so that's a transformation. It's sort of like, therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman be in Christ, behold, they're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, now all things have become new. But he tells us how that transformation takes place. Look at it. He says in the verse, by the renewing of your mind. I can't tell you how important the mind really is, because that's where Satan wants to attack. He caught Eve off guard. He began to talk to her mentally to get her emotions and her mental statement off of what God had to say in a different way. And so to renew our minds, listen, to renew our minds, we must get into the Word. And I like the old saying, get into the Word and let the Word get into you. May that be one of the most important things. I remember Charles Spurgeon said that he wanted to be biblean, that even if somebody were to cut him, he'd bleed the Bible, because he had so much of the Word of God engrafted into his mind and into his soul and into his life. That's why the Bible is important for us to read. Listen to what Paul said to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, listen to verse 28. Him, meaning Jesus, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The word perfect there means, of course, mature or complete. In fact, we are complete in Christ. Then he goes on to say in Colossians chapter 3, and verse number 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Then the same chapter, chapter 3 and verse 10, he continues, he says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And then chapter 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. In other words, let it be at home. Let it be at home in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Reading the Word of God, habitually reading and constantly studying the Word of God. Why? See, salvation, when we got saved, it was instantaneous. But transformation, it takes time. Paul said it in Philippians, I think it's Philippians chapter 3. His total aim and goal is to forget those things that are behind and looking toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus, where his total focus was Christ-likeness. That was his desire. That was his plan. I heard one guy said it took one day to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel, or vice versa. It took one day to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Can you imagine that? And so it's important to put in our minds the Word of God, the Word of God each and every day. So he says here at the end, it's a transformation by the renewing of your mind. So Paul says, I'm pleading with you, church. I beseech you, I beg with you, with all that's within me, to you have to make that decision, because you have to present your bodies. You have to present yourself to the Lord. You know, he wants all of us, right? He wants every bit of us. Let's say, you know, back December the 5th, 1975, when Rob and I were going to get married, let's say we were standing before our preacher, Brother Bill Nash, and he went through, will you take Robin to be your wife, da 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 da. And when he got to the point where he said, forsaking all others, and if I were to say, well, preacher Nash, what am I going to do with Susie? What am I going to do with Virginia? What am I going to do? Well, I can imagine she's gone. What you going to do with who? You know, see, and let me ask you a question. If you were to ask your spouse before you got married, I promise you, I'm going to make a vow to you that I'm going to be faithful to you 95% of the time. I wonder how many of us would have gotten married. And yet we want to tell God, well Lord, I got this I want to hold to, on to this I want to hold to. Well, Lord, I'll be 95% faithful to you. No, that's not going to cut it. He wants all of us. He wants 100% of us. And you know, the Bible says in Exodus 20, I know it's an Old Testament passage, but Exodus 20 verse 3 says, you have to have no other gods before you. Did you know anything you love more, anything you trust more, anything you serve more than you do the Lord Jesus Christ is an idol in your life? You see, priority. Have we presented our bodies totally to Him? Do we realize that we are separated? Not only realizing that, but we're living in the truth that we're not of this world. So therefore, I'm going to live according to the Word of God. And through learning about who Christ is and placing the Word in our minds and our hearts, there will be a transformation by the renewing of your minds that he ends saying it will be good. In other words, it means respectable. It means upright, noble. It'll be acceptable, again, satisfactory and adequate, and it will be perfect. It will be complete, lacking nothing. That's what God desires from us, and that's what surrender really, really is. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of coming this morning and opening up the Word. Lord, help us to realize what surrendering really means, presenting ourselves, being separate from the world, having that transformation by renewing of our minds. Father, may these truths be evident. May they be real. May they be happening each and every day, Lord. I pray for those who may not know Christ. They may know about Him, but have never been saved, never been born again. And so I pray, Father, today would be the day of salvation. I pray today would be a day of refreshment, revival, renewal, of bringing ourselves, presenting ourselves, saying, "Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to give you every part of my body, my whole being. I want to give you my mind. I want to give you my emotions. I want to give you my decisions, Lord. Lord, I want to give you my thinking. I want to give you everything that I have. And Father, I want to know that I'm separated, but yet I'm going to live separated from this world. And Lord, I want you to continue to transform me into the person that will please and honor you. And we'll be careful to praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen."
Thank you, Brother Rick. Good to see y'all today. I hope everybody has a good week. Hope things go well. Remember those around you. If as Tammy, as we've been doing, and Rich and Alita, call somebody this week and check on them. See how they're doing this week. If nothing else, then let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, once again, we come to you thanking you for all that you do for us and all that you've done for us. And Lord, as Rick has brought the message to us today, Lord, help us to realize that we are yours and we do need to present ourselves, our whole body, our whole being to you as a living sacrifice so that you can do what you want to do and need to do in our lives. Be with us as we go throughout this week. Help us to be a shining light for you. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we fail you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. And we are dismissed.
Good to see you, Miss Tammy.